I'll get it, Mom. You get it, Nash. You've been down there, buddy. Praise God. Come on, let's get into the Word. Y'all here? You ready? Let's get in the Word. I know we're a little small today, but that's okay. That's all right. Luke chapter 9, go there. I think it's interesting, again, Pastor John quoted a verse. I did not tell him what I'm ministering today. And he quoted a verse that I am using and will be part of the foundation. I thought that was interesting. That happens so often, so often. I don't plan those things. We didn't try to tie it together. Hey, John, I'm preaching this. These are my scriptures. Say something like it and it'll sound real. You know, no, we don't do that. We never do that. And so he brings it up about putting a person putting their hand to the plow. Did you hear him say that? He did say that because it tweaked my ears quickly when I heard it. In Luke chapter 9, first off, the title of the message today is Unfinished Business. Luke chapter 9, begin there in verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest, or wherever you go. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my home, or at my house. Verse 62, and Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And every year, as we approach the end of one year and the beginning of another, so much of the time we reflect on what happened throughout the year. Okay, and we look back and we think, oh yeah, I had said I was going to do this, 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 and this. I vowed I would lose some weight. I vowed I would blah, 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 to spend more time in the Word every day, spend more time praising God, being kinder to people, all these things that people make promises about in their own personal lives. And at the end of the year, they start doing a little bit of introspection. They do some self-examination, and they come up with the glaring fact that they didn't get a lot of those things done. Have you ever been there? Have you ever done that? And throughout 2017, you may have had some really good intentions of getting some things done, but you fell short. Now, I want to ask you a question. Tomorrow, when the calendar flips from 31, which is today, to 1, or the 1st of January tomorrow, what changes? It's a day. It's a number. It's another year. Come on. If you were someplace and you didn't have a calendar and you didn't know what the date was, you just keep doing what you know to do. Amen? That's what I want to encourage you today. I'm not going to say that you shouldn't look and see if your methods are effective. I'm not saying you shouldn't do a little introspection and examine yourself. The Bible instructs us to examine ourselves. It does. There is a portion in the Gospel of Luke chapter 16 where there was a steward who had to give account for what he had done with his master's money. You remember that? And come April, we will all have to file our accounting to the federal government and the state government, right? It's called taxes. Favorite time of the year. But there is an accounting that needs to be done before the Lord as well. But I don't want you to be discouraged if you came up a little bit short this year in something you vowed you would get done. I don't want you to let go of it just because the year advances by one number. I don't want you to let go of something that you have started. You have some unfinished business. Well, I didn't complete what I was supposed to complete, what I felt like I was supposed to do. Now, wait a minute. Did the Lord give you a time constraint and say, I want you to get this done now? If he did and you didn't get it done, you need to repent. Okay? But if it's something that you're working on and working towards in your life, for instance, you know that you should be more committed to the things of God. There's not a one of us in here that cannot be more committed to being doers of the word. And you sit back and you go, well, you know, I vowed I would read my Bible more and spend more time with God. Well, if you didn't get it done to what you feel like you could do, step it up. Don't quit. Just because tomorrow's another year, don't quit. Don't get discouraged because you didn't get this done. Stay after it. It's unfinished business. It is, in fact, incomplete. So get after it. It will not complete itself if you pull your hands off it. No man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom, is what Jesus said. That word, looking, where it says, if a man puts his hand to the plow and is looking back, the word looking implies two things. Looking with the bodily eye, your physical eye, see it. Or looking with your mind's eye, which is having memories, thoughts of things. And looking back in your thinking and allowing mindsets to prevail that, you know what? It's stopping you from being useful. The word fit is actually translated useful in the original language. It's stopping you from being useful in the kingdom of God. And what we've done is we've said, yeah, but I know I should get this done. Well, get after it. If it's something that's good to finish, get it finished anyway. Some of the times people have been so hard on themselves. I'm not telling you not to have some introspection. I'm not telling you not to examine yourself. I'm not telling you that it's all right to be lazy and go on year after year after year making promises and never completing them. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is I don't want you to be so discouraged that all you're doing is looking at all the failures that you had and you're missing what the Lord has for you right in front of you. And that is so much the case in so many households and so many people. Ann made a comment the other day. We were sitting there watching a Hallmark movie. Yeah. She married the guy who had a better heart than the other guy, and the guy that, you know, was after the money and the things and just figured they were going to get married, she turned him down. Say it didn't happen that way, Pastor Dan, but it did. And she fell in love with the man who didn't have as much money as the other guy, but had a better heart and loved the things that really mattered. And you know the theme. It plays out all the time. Anyway, we're sitting there. That's a little sidetrack for you. We're sitting there watching this movie, and this commercial comes on from Nutrisystems. And she made the comment. She said, I'll guarantee you this time of year, woo, man, their business is booming. I got this New Year resolution I'm going to order that. Sure. Sales of exercise equipment goes up around the first of the year. Memberships to gyms and various other places where you can exercise, and those go up. People have a lot of good intentions about things and end up not always carrying them out. Now, sometimes people do, and they actually do carry them out, and praise God for that. But I'm here to tell you today, if the Spirit of God has told you that you need to deal with something in your life and you're not dealing with it, you need to repent. Do you hear me? I'm not making it where, well, you know, we just bump that off another year and I'll make a promise, but God knows I'm so weak. Well, what are you doing about becoming stronger? We did a whole series, if you remember, based on Ephesians chapter 5, about being filled with the Holy Spirit. You remember that? Did it for 10 plus weeks. And we found out in the Greek it was in the present imperative, be being filled with the Spirit. And just because you were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues one time, how long ago? You don't stay filled. You need to be being filled. Because when you're walking in the things of God, praying, using your faith, that level of anointing can decrease. It's not an automatic that you stay at this high level of anointing. It's called backsliding, and many people do it. And they get to this place in their life where they think everything is hunky-dory and I don't have to do anything. Oh, hold it a minute. To be being filled means to be actively involved in prayer, study of the Word, fellowship with God, praise and worship. It's all included. And we need to be on that all the time. So what are you doing about becoming stronger so that you can fulfill that thing that you don't come along with the excuse, I'm just so weak. Why are you so weak? You can be strengthened with power and might by His Holy Spirit in your inner man, the book of Ephesians says. I know every one of us have a flesh. Phew, man. Sometimes I really wish we didn't. You know, you get ready to do something, the thing that you would do, Paul addressed it in Romans chapter 7, the thing I would do, I end up not doing, the thing I, don't want to do, that's the thing that I end up falling into. I know how to do this, and I don't. I know I shouldn't do that, but I end up doing it anyway. That's the weakness of the flesh. And 99 9/10% of all sin falls in that category of weakness of the flesh sins. And so we have a powerful tool to deal with weakness. And it's praying. Praying in the Spirit. Builds you up on your most holy faith, Jude verse 20 says. So we covered all of that in a series, and it's all online. You can go to the website, and it's all there. All those messages are there. For weeks on end, and you can go back and listen to that. In fact, are you in the process of being filled even as we speak? Are you taking those messages that we studied and went over and continuing therein? If you are, there's no excuse. You will not be weak. You will be being strengthened. Amen. There are times people walk into church and I just feel like I don't know anything. Well, if you're spending your time in front of the TV and spending your time doing this, that, and the other that has nothing to do with studying the Word, there's going to be a feeling of, I don't know anything, because in fact, you won't know anything if you don't get into the Word. So in 2018, a good thing to look at is, how much time am I in the Word? I mean, you can look at that, amen? How's my church attendance? Very quiet. Don't bring it up. Church attendance reflects the priority of God being first in your life. I know you don't like to hear that. A lot of folks don't want to hear it. But the fact is, if you say, I put the Lord first, God first, then my spouse, then my children, my family, okay, then my work, right? It's actually further down, right? But I want, and then, you know, somebody said, well, then church comes in after that. No, hold it. If God is first, you have said God is first. If God is first, let me say this. You can't separate God from His Word. If you can, that makes Him a liar, right? If He'll say one thing and does another, you are able to successfully separate God from His Word. His Word says this, but I love God over here. Oh, wait a minute. God is His Word. The Word is God, is what the Bible says. In the beginning was the Word, John 1, verse 1. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men. That was Jesus Christ. Amen. So you can't separate the Word from God Himself. You say God is first, then His Word needs to be first. And His Word says, don't turn away from fellowship. Hebrews chapter 10. What, verse 38? Somewhere in there. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some has, or the habit of many has become. Pastor, I don't like that kind of preaching. I don't care if you like it or not. That's the truth. Commitment. Things don't get better by ignoring the things of God. They get better when you pull in and turn it up. Isn't it amazing? Satan keeps turning up the wick. Satan keeps turning up the pressure. And the church is going, oh, what can I do? I just feel so weak. Why do you feel so weak? Well, you know, I get to church once a month, maybe. I get in the Word now and again. Well, no wonder why. No wonder why. We have tools given to us to cause us to succeed in our walk here. You're not going to need all that when you get to heaven. The devil's not going to be in heaven. You have an opponent here in this earth, and you need to take the weapons of your warfare that are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, 2 Corinthians 10. And you need to use these tools to make our lives better. God has given them to us. Thank you, Lord. That's good preaching, Pastor Dan. Amen. That is good. Hallelujah. It's the truth. There's nothing you can do to get back any time that you have wasted over the past year. You realize that? Nothing you can do about it. It's over with. It's done. You wasted time yesterday. It's over with. You wasted time this morning. It's over with. What are you going to do with today? What are you going to do with tomorrow? What are you going to do with this next year? What are you going to do? Where are the changes going to be made that you need to make? If there's some changes need to be made, make them. If you have some unfinished business, get it done. Go after it. Can I hear an amen? You remember last year, actually it was probably the year before, I told you, I made the mistake of telling you on a Sunday morning that I had a hanger for a wheelbarrow. You remember that? You remember that? And it had been there sitting on the shelf, and the wheelbarrow was on the ground, and the wheelbarrow's in the way because it's a big wheelbarrow. And I thought, I need to get that up one of these days. And I said before the church, I'll get that done today. Then I got home, and I wanted to sit around with my tie on like Ward Cleaver and kick back and watch a game or something, you know. And I thought, man, I told the church I'd get that up. I got to go do it. So I put it up, and I put a picture up there for everybody to see. You remember that? It's up. It's up. Leave me alone now. Little motivation doesn't hurt. You know, Jerry Savelle said one time when he was knowing that he was supposed to pray and he had dedicated himself to pray and spent some time in prayer and he kept falling asleep. You ever do it? I'm going to read the Word. I'm going to pray. And you start praying. You're reading the Word. And before you know it, you know, whoo, man, you're out cold. You've passed out. You wake up, you know, a little drool on your Bible. That's not good. Yeah, you know, we're just being real here. But anyway, it's like, okay. So what does Jerry do? He said, Lord told me we'll stand on the edge of the bathtub. So he got up on the bathtub, reading the Word and praying. He said, if I fall asleep, I'll be coming to see Jesus real quick. So, bam, you know, so maybe that's you. I don't know. I have actually done that already. We tease, but I have actually done that. Yeah. Yeah. Stand somewhere where you have to balance and you'll stay awake. Uh-huh. Some of you in church, you know, it's like maybe you need to just, I don't know, stand up and shake your head, do something to shake the cobwebs loose when you're tired. I understand that. Obedience, the Bible says obedience is greater than sacrifice. Do you remember the incident when Saul, I'm just off the cuff right now. Saul was supposed to deal with Agag and the Amalekites. Do you remember? And he was supposed to kill, he was supposed to wipe them out. That's what he's supposed to do. And what does he do? When Samuel shows up, he hears the bleating, B-L-E-A-T, the sound of sheep. Bah. That's my best right there. Sheep. Bah. You know. And he goes, what is this I hear? Oh, I saved these back for sacrifice to the Lord. But it was in direct disobedience to what the Lord had told him to do. Do you realize he lost the kingdom over that disobedience? He was supposed to wipe out the Amalekites. The Amalekites wanted to wipe out Israel. Don't ever struggle with that. When the Lord told Joshua and the children of Israel, and told them to wipe out, and it had started way back then with even Saul, wipe them out. That nation, the Amalekites, wanted to wipe out Israel. Who was the seed that would come through the nation of Israel who would redeem mankind? His name was Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget. There was a reason. The Lord knew that those people would eventually destroy Israel if Israel did not destroy them. And I'll tell you something. The Amalekites were a type of the flesh. And if you don't deal with your flesh will stop you in your walk with Christ. But the Bible said, obedience is greater than sacrifice. And because you didn't obey, the kingdom will be taken from you. And Saul ended up losing the kingdom over that act of disobedience. Oh, but I kept these back. I kept them back so we can sacrifice them. No, God didn't tell you to keep them back. He told you to deal with it and to wipe them all out. Obedience is the greatest thing that you can do before the Lord. Obedience. Are you being obedient? Obedience before the Lord is greater than anything else. If you're obedient to do what he tells you to do, it's always greater than sacrifice. People are making sacrifices in their lives with the thoughts of, I'll have happiness if I have more financial success. And so they sacrifice this, they sacrifice that. They put money and they put things ahead of God and want God to bless. They're putting that ahead of him. That is the most foolish thing you can do. You don't put something ahead of God and expect God to bless it. No, he's saying, that's not what I told you to do. It would have been just as silly and wrong and ungodly for God to bless. Oh, well, Saul, you came up with a better idea. Gosh, I didn't think of that. We'll keep these animals back and sacrifice. You had a better idea. I will bless that. No, he took everything from Saul over that. And Saul did his best to try to get it all back, but it never came back. He ends up being involved in witchcraft, gets involved with the witch of Endor, and blah, 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 and so on and so forth. Has a miserable life. And because of that, it was all started with that disobedience. Obedience. In reality, the number on the calendar changes, but you still have work to do. You get it? So I want to encourage you today to do what the Lord has instructed you to do. And just because a numerical date changes and the year advances one in number, it doesn't mean that it's over with. You have some work that needs to be completed. Can I hear an amen? Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. I'm not going to be long today. Did I already tell you that? Long ago, hallelujah, yes. Long ago. We always have a wise guy in the crowd, but that's good. I love Fred. He is a wise guy. Smart man. He's got the wisdom of God in his life. And I say that affectionately, brother. I really do, and you know that. We're going to talk about being wise, actually, in just a moment right here. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse number 15. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And I had circled this in my Bible, you know, and wrote a little stuff in. I went and looked up the word wise. I thought, this is an interesting word. There's something there. I need to pull it out and give it to the people. And I did that this morning. Wise is the Greek word. It means forming the best plans and using the best means for their execution. Forming the best plans, you hear? Forming the best plans and using the best means for their execution or the execution of those plans. You need to be wise. Let the Lord lead you and guide you in what you set out to do. Don't be these fools who don't walk carefully and don't seek the face of God and seek His wisdom. No, we need to get His wisdom. Amen. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, redeeming is a very detailed word in Greek, and it meant, as in Galatians 3, 13 and 14, where Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, it meant to buy you back, to pay the ransom price, to deliver you. And He redeemed us from all sickness and disease, eternal death, poverty. We're redeemed. We've been purchased back out of that slave market. We're no longer slaves to sin. We have authority over sin. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. So as I look at this, and I'm thinking, okay, redeeming, it's got to be exagorazo, which is the Greek word, and it is. It's the same Greek word. But listen to this. This right here in this verse, it means this. To make wise and sacred use of every opportunity for doing good. So that zeal and well-doing are, as it were, the purchase money by which we make the time our own. I'll say that one more time. Listen very carefully. To make wise, this is about redeeming the time. Redeem the time. Buy up the time. How do you buy it up? With well-doing, okay? To make wise and sacred use of every opportunity for doing good. So that zeal and well-doing. How many of y'all have zeal? You have zeal for the Lord? Would they call you a zealot? Full of the zeal of God? What most people say when somebody has zeal is they're just a little bit flaky. They're just a little too excited about God. No, normally that's somebody who's closer to the Lord in their walk than you are. When somebody has a lot of zeal for the things of God and loves the Lord and is not afraid to go after it, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, there are some people that do some goofy, kooky things that don't line up with the Word. We're not talking about that. But having a strong zeal and desire to do the Word and to do good unto others, that's part of what we should be involved in daily. I'll say it one more time. To make wise and sacred use of every opportunity for doing good, so that zeal and well-doing are, as it were, the purchase money by which we make the time our own. The zeal and the well-doing are the purchase money by which we make the time our own. In other words, if I'm walking in well-doing and zeal, and I look for every opportunity to be a doer of that, that's what redeeming the time really is. Making the most out of the time. Zeal and well-doing become the purchase of that time. The purchase money of that time, if you will. That's what the Greek brings out. I like that. I need to be involved in that. 2018, there's a blank canvas before me. I can do that. I can make a concerted effort to do that in my life. But the flesh is going to fight me. It's right here in this portion of Scripture. We spent a lot of time, look at it, verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise. So he's saying, don't be unwise. Don't be somebody who doesn't take the opportunity with zeal and well-doing to purchase this time, to get it back, to use it wisely. Don't be somebody who ignores that. If you do, you're called a fool. I don't want to be called a fool. Amen? I don't want to be somebody who can't do what he is supposed to do. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, or debauchery. You remember that? The line is blurred. When people start in this drinking business, tonight's the night, a lot of people, church people are like, we're going to have a little sip. A little sipping saints. I'll tell you what. I grew up in Milwaukee. Right near Milwaukee. A lot of beer drinking up there. A lot of liquor up there. That's not the way to go. We'll leave it at that. You should be filled with the Spirit, not filled with alcohol. You want to get the high. You haven't had a high until you've experienced the most high. Amen? I mean, that, those of us that did the alcohol thing, I never did any drugs, but I guess alcohol is a drug. But the alcohol thing, before I knew Jesus Christ, man, you know, you think that's the way to go. That makes me feel good and makes me feel about myself. And mm-mm, mm-mm. Can I hear an mm-mm? I praise the Lord I got saved at a relatively young age, 19 years of age. The legal age in Wisconsin is 18 to consume alcohol. And man, I mean, Jesus came into my heart, and I got delivered of that instantly. Never did it again. 1979, I was 19 years of age. What am I now? 57. That's 38 years that I haven't had a sip. And I don't need a sip. I will take some gulps of the presence of the Lord in my life. And it's better than anything Budweiser can produce. Can I hear an amen? It really is. It doesn't cost you money. And you don't wake up with the room spinning. Kneeling in pseudo prayer before the porcelain. Well, whatever. We won't do that. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be being filled with the Spirit. Quickly, Philippians 3, you're right there. Ephesians, go to Philippians. Philippians 3, and here it is again in verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, Paul's saying, I don't have a hold of everything. I don't have all the answers, but this one thing I do know, forgetting those things which are behind. The Greek word means to lose it out of my mind. Lose it out of my mind. I don't even think about this stuff anymore. I'm not looking back in my mind's eye, remembering the times I did this, 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 and this, and longing to be back in that place. No, I'm not doing that. I'm putting my hand to the plow, and I'm looking straight forward. I'm going to be a doer of the word 2018. I'm going to finish what I started. I'm going to keep after it. I'm going to take care of this unfinished business. Amen. And along the way, if the Lord tells me to do some other things, I'll do those too. Get your wheelbarrow hung. Amen. For some of you, it's a closet or a drawer or a room or something else that you know you need to do. You've been talking about it for a long time. Okay. Quit talking about it and do it. Philippians 3, verse 13 again. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I don't see any mention of dates or time deadlines in those verses. We're supposed to be pressing forward. The kingdom of God does not run in reverse, where you put your hand on the plow and you're looking back, I better go back here. Let's go and revisit this. So, you know, that time when I got involved in this, I'm going to think about that. Or that time I did this, you know. No. The kingdom of God is progressive and it moves forward. I tell you, in Mark chapter 4, the kingdom of God is likened to the sowing of seed. You find it in verse 26. You find it in the parable of the sower. It's all through chapter 4 of Mark. And what is the sowing of seed equals? That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is likened unto a person sowing seed. The sower sows the word. Remember that? So you could say kingdom of God or kingdom equals sowing seed equals work. Be busy. Get after it. Don't be stagnant in your approach. Don't sit back and rest on your laurels, on your blessed assurance. Get after it. And do what you're supposed to be doing. Can I hear an amen? This is being met with a lot of enthusiasm, a rousing amen, Pastor Dan. But, you know, this is the tie-up message for this year to launch us into next year. And so, albeit we're not sitting back and looking at all the things we didn't get done this last year, we're going to continue the work and move on. There's more to do. There's more to do. Diligently press on in the kingdom. And I'm going to close with this verse. Turn over to Proverbs 10, and this is where we'll close. Diligently press on in the kingdom. In the sowing of seeds, put the word into your heart. Do it on a daily basis. Come on, get your routines established. If you're not in the Word like you ought to, make some changes. The first thing you should be doing every day is getting into the Word of God.
I just can't, Pastor Dan. I'm just too tired.
Amazing how you can read the newspaper. Amazing how you can check your phone. Amazing how you can turn on the early morning news shows. Bunch of bad news. Why not read the good news? Why not get some fuel in your tank for the day? If we head out to Oklahoma City, we did it the other day and looked at the gas gauge and it was low. Well, I didn't go, phooey on that. Let's go, man. Get down the road, the car, pull over and get on the side of the road. Why'd you let me down? What's the matter with you? Don't you know I was going to have some pastoral relaxation? And you let me run out of gas? What's the matter with you, God? How many Christians do that in their lives? They don't get in the Word and fuel up on the things of God, and they set out into the day with an empty tank. Oh, boy. You like to tank up on your coffee, and whatever else, juice, and your cornflakes or eggs or whatever you eat in the morning. I didn't mention your Cheerios. I meant to. But listen, get some fuel in your tank. Get the word in. Make that. That's a quick change everybody can make if they're not doing it. Can I hear an amen? Come on, stand to your feet. I'll read this last verse, but stand to your feet. So you don't slumber nor sleep. Hallelujah. You got to stay up past midnight tonight, don't you know? You know how Ann and I do that? After all these years of being married, we're like, you know, we've been married coming up on 30 years, and another 2 years, it'll be a year and a half, right? It's been 28 years. It'll be 29 this year, so we're approaching 30. Whatever. We're close to 52. Hallelujah. But anyway, after all these years, we're like, okay, you know, let's it's almost a new year. Let's just go to bed now and what time is it? You look. I don't want to roll or look. Okay. 1 minute. 1 minute. Here we go. 1 minute. Boom. 12 o'clock. And somebody down the road will shoot a gun off or some crazy thing. We're just outside the city limits. Go, boom. Boom. We look out. There's fireworks going up. Happy New Year. Good night. That's it. We're done. You know, stay up. All you young people, I think it's so cool to stay up. We used to think that. Proverbs 10, look at verse 4. He becomes poor that deals with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who deals with a slack hand, it's a Hebrew word that means to deal in a lax or neglectful fashion. Neglect the things you know you should deal with. Neglect the things that you know the Spirit of God speaking to you about. That tends to poverty, but the hand of the diligent. Ooh, I love that word, diligent. Make a note of this. Karutz is a Hebrew word for diligent. And karutz means to be incisive. Susie, you're a nurse. You know what an incision is. If the doctor makes an incision, it is a cut, correct? To be incisive means to be penetrating. The hand of the diligent means the hand of the one who stays on something regardless of the date, regardless of if the year is over, regardless of all of that, stays on it until they penetrate through and obtain victory. The hand of that person. And it literally means you'll have abundance in your life, including physical riches. God wants to take care of his kids. I love blessing my son. I love taking care of him. I love giving to people. God wants to do that in the lives of his kids, but he needs his kids to be diligent. And not in just one area. Not in just this area. No, diligent in every area, starting with our time with Him. If we're diligent there, everything else will blossom from that. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Praise God. There it is. That's it. I have no more to say in 2017. Amen. I was sort of teasing, but you know what I'm saying. We need to close the service down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, bow your heads with me. Let's go before the Lord right now. Father, we thank you and praise you and give you glory for your goodness. We give you glory for the word that was sown in our hearts today. And Father, as we do look at the closing of this year, 2017, and right on the horizon is 2018, within hours, the calendar will switch, the year will progress another number, but our work, oh, it's not finished. Yeah, we've made some strides in our life in 2017 in some areas. Maybe we digress some, but we're not giving up. We're keeping our hand to the plow. We are those that have the hand of the diligent. Mm-hmm. We are the diligent. Will not tend with a slack hand. I thank you, Father, that you bless your kids as they put you first place. After all, your word says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things the Gentiles are looking for. All these other things will be added to you. That's a key right there. Put him first. His rule and reign in you is the kingdom. That's the kingdom. Put that first in your life. Is he ruling and reigning in your thoughts today? Or do you have everything else going in there? Thank you, Lord, for that. We praise you and bless you and give you glory in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Come on, if you agree, say amen.